Let's grab our Bibles and you can turn to Acts chapter 16, 6 through 40 as we continue in our sermon series on Acts called To the Ends of the Earth, looking at what it means to be Spirit-empowered witnesses that go to the ends of the earth, just like we're sending out Risen Life Midvale now to that part of the valley to spread the gospel. Let me ask you this question this morning. Have you ever been part of a winning team? Some of you are like, no, never. But most of us, right, you've been part of a winning team somewhere. And I'm not talking just that barely won, okay, like you squeaked it in there. Like I'm talking a dominating winning team. When you get on the field, everybody's scared. Maybe it was a sports team, your team at work, whatever team it is, your bowling league. But when you came in with swagger and you were going to win this thing. You ever been on that team? If you are, you're on the Alabama football team for the last 20 years. No, just kidding. I was on a team like that once. Now, you're going to call me a nerd here. I was part of the Franklin High School marching band. Thank you very much. And we had over 300 people on that band. And every year, we go to this little thing called Contest of Champions. And we were the champion most years, right? Thank you, thank you. And when we would take the field, right, there was a little bit of swagger because we were going to win. This is what it's like to be on a winning team. It's always really great. We came as the juggernaut to beat every year, and it's a great feeling. Part of what we're going to see this morning, we look at Acts. If you have given your life to Christ, you are on the winning team. We got to get this in our hearts and minds. Your team, the church, with Jesus leading the way, we will win. In fact, we have won. Interesting thing. This is not because we have really good players. In fact, take a minute and look around the room. Okay? Right? This is not because of the players we got on the team. But we're going to win because God is on our side. And God has done an amazing work in Christ. He has assured the outcome when this team takes the field. And so we celebrate this Palm Sunday. You know, it looked like Jesus had won. He kicks off Holy Week here where those crowds are, they're cheering Jesus on. And yet, by the end of the week, it looked like he'd lost. And yet God had bigger plans to do an even bigger win than anybody could have imagined, right? We are on the winning team. And so as we look at our text this morning, I want you to see this here. Jesus' followers don't lose. Okay, we don't lose. We won't lose. And we're going to see how that plays out. So this morning, we're going to look at Paul and Silas and their missionary journey. And we're going to see it in three parts. In that despite their circumstances, God is going to direct them as his followers. God is going to save people as he works in hearts. And God defeats impossible odds. Okay, so let's look at the Macedonian call here in Acts 6, 16, 6 through 10. Paul and Barnabas have separated. Barnabas and Mark go to Cyprus. That's the last we hear of them. And then Paul and Silas went back to Asia Minor to strengthen and encourage the churches where they had planted some new ones. And so we're going to catch up with them on their missionary journey. Look here in verse 6. It says, now Paul and Silas went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia standing there, urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them there. Okay, I love this. This is a great passage. Shows us why the members of Jesus' team will be successful because we have a God that is leading us. He is directing us. Talked a little bit about how we hear from God last week, right? He speaks through his word. He speaks through the church. He speaks through the Holy Spirit in us. But he is guiding his believers so that they will have the success that he wants. And the answer real here is really pretty practical, right? Paul and Silas, they attempt to do things in accordance with what God has said in his word, and then they let God show them yes or no. Okay? Some of us want to know what God's will is for our life. And this is what the passage shows us. We should work at the things God has said in His Word and then step into the opportunities He says yes to. It's really quite that easy. In fact, Proverbs 16:9 says this, the heart of a man plans his way, but it's the Lord that establishes his steps. Okay, think about this with me. When I was young, it was popular for me and others to say this. Young people say this a lot. Like, I want to find out what God has for my life. Right? I want to find that job that God has said, this is for you. And then we sit back in mom and dad's basement, and we wait for lightning to strike and stone tablets to be revealed from the sky that have inscribed on it our future job that will bring us great fulfillment. Well, that's kind of not the way it works. Actually, the Christian pursuit of God's will looks like taking stock of your skills, applying for lots of jobs, putting in the work, and seeing which job you get hired. And then when God opens that door, that's His will for you. This is how this goes. Applies to finding a spouse too, right? Some of you that are married, you remember when you're looking for your spouse and you're like praying like, God, like, would you just show me the right woman or the right guy? Like, just reveal who that is to me. And I hear people say it all the time. I want to find the person God has for me. Well, ask some people out. That's how you find the person God has for you. Ask some people out and pursue godly people, people pursuing Jesus with godly motives for marriage. And the one that says yes, that's God's will for you. This is what Paul and Silas are doing. Listen, it's not so much about finding the right person as committing to a person in the Lord together. You can have a successful marriage with somebody that's chasing Jesus with you. And look, this is what Paul and Silas are doing. We're not given exactly how God directed them, but God twice through His Spirit said no to those attempts, but then they opened a different door. Okay, we're going to put on our theology hat, or maybe a visor this morning, or whatever you like to wear. Or maybe a straw hat. It's spring, right? We're getting ready. Notice how this passage also shows us a claim to the divinity of Christ, that Christ is God. Okay, look at this. Acts 16:6 says the Holy Spirit stopped them first. Then 16:7 it says the Spirit of Jesus stopped them second. And then in 16:10 it says after the vision, they concluded through these events that God had called them to Macedonia. This is really cool. Speaks to each member of the Trinity at work in God's work, right? One person, or three persons, one essence here. Also has equated the Spirit of Jesus with the Holy Spirit, right? This is why Christians claim that Jesus is God. He is the God come in human flesh to make a way for salvation for us. Okay, you can take your hats off now. We're done with our theology moment, but there you have it, right? This is an important little piece in there. What do we do when God says no to us? We don't like to be told no. I don't like it. My kids surely don't like it. We surely don't like it when God says no to our plans. Ever felt that? Like, have you ever tried to do something and you know for sure God said, no way, Jose? What do you do? How do you respond? Well, we should keep working at the things God has told us to do and look for new opportunities. This is what God shows us. When God closes one door for us, many of us try to keep beating our heads against the door that's shut and can't understand why it won't open. And if God shuts a door, you know what I know? It ain't opening. Christian response is to try another door, find where God has said yes. And so Paul and Silas are told you can't go to Asia and try to go to Bithynia, can't go there. God says no. Notice that they are being faithful to the call of ministry that they have on their life. Like, we are going to go preach the gospel. God has said that, and we're going to keep doing it, and we're going to find where He says yes. And eventually God says yes through a vision, says, look, guys, it's Macedonia. Go over there. And what do? They don't go, well, I don't really want to go over there. They go, all right, that's where we're going. And immediately they go. So listen, if you are frustrated that God has closed a door that you want open, what's the Christian thing to do? Well, you get up, You work at the things God has told you to do and try a different door, right? Keep going. Don't get out the crowbar and battering ram and try to pry open the one you want. Find the one God has propped open and walk through it, right? This is so important. And that door will lead to the next door and the next door and the next door. And one day you'll look back and say, God has been really good to me. I can think of this in my own life, right? Like you want things to go a certain way, and yet if you're faithful to the Lord and you give your heart to Him, wherever He says go, He will take you and grow you as He should, and He will do really great things in your life. But you got to give to Him, right? You got to give your heart to Him. As Psalm 16, 5 and 6, I often think of this psalm when I see God do good things that I never thought He'd do in my life. David says here, "The Lord is my chosen portion in my cup. You hold my lot. And the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." Right? Give yourself to God. Let Him say no. Find the yes. Looking back, never guess where God had taken this Tennessee boy to Utah to be a pastor. And we must believe and trust God's sovereignty. He's in control of the growth of His kingdom, and He keep looking for the things where He wants to bless, and He will direct us as followers of Christ. You know, we're getting ready to send out Risen Life Midvale today, our church plant, and we believe God has opened a door for ministry in Midvale through these guys. And think about this. 5 years ago, the CLT and the elders set aside money to bring on a church planter to train them, get them used to Utah so that we could plant a church. We didn't know where that was, but God allowed us to go walk through that door and set aside that money. Now, we began to pray for a church planter, and then in the midst of that, we had a senior pastor moment, we can call it a senior moment, where we had to figure out who our new senior pastor was going to be. So we had to put those plans on pause. And then after we got that solved, you guys chose me, thank you. 3 years ago, we set aside more money for a church planter, didn't know who that was. And then a little over a year ago, God answered our prayers and brought us John and Becky Perkins. And then John and I began to think and pray, where should this church plant be? And we looked at lots of places. John did a lot of research, lots of conversations, lots of dead ends. But then we said, it's Midvale. God's leading us to Midvale. And then you need a team to do that. And so we began to pray for a team over this last year. And now we're going to send out a pastoral team of John as the pastor of the church. We're going to send out Daniel Graves as our worship minister. We're going to send out Brian Davis as our part-time executive pastor. We're going to send out Tiffany Davis as our part-time children's minister. That is an amazing thing. But it started with us being faithful to the first door that God presented to us. Will you set aside some money as a church for a church plant, right? You don't know where those things go, but God is asking us to be faithful, and He will direct us as His people, right? Through all the twists and the turns, and so we're going to celebrate that today here in a second. Now, let's look at the second story in our text today. This is the conversion of Lydia in Acts 16, 11 through 15. And what we're going to see here, this is what God wants to show us. It is God who opens hearts to receive salvation. Okay, this is really important. Paul and Silas travel into Macedonia to Philippi, one of its leading cities, and then look what it says here in verse 13. It says, "And on the Sabbath day, they went outside the gate of the city to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized in her household as well, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." Okay, another great thing here that's going to show us, right? God opens hearts to save. And so God has opened a door. Paul and Silas walk through it. They're faithful to what God has called them to, and now they do what they've always done. They go to the place in the city where people gather, and they start sharing the gospel. And I want you to see this. If we're going to share the gospel well in Salt Lake City, we got to go where people are, right? That's what they do. Like, we're going to find ways to interact with people. There's people we know go out there and pray, and so we're going to go out there, and we're going to talk to them about the gospel. And so I might ask you this morning, Where can you go? Where do you already go? Where people are, where God can use you to talk about the gospel, to talk about Jesus. You know, I've done evangelism around the world in different places and did some evangelism in a closed country, and our strategy was to go to the mall and go to the seaside and go to anywhere people were hanging out, and we'd pray for the Lord's guidance and open doors, and we would share with whoever would talk with us. I mean, this is evangelism. It's really that easy. Go where people are and talk to them. The gospel requires us to be around people and to find ways to engage with them. And so Paul and Silas begin a conversation with this woman, Lydia, who the Bible tells us is a seller of purple goods, probably has some means, and worships God. Maybe that means she was interested in God or had a Jewish background or leaning, had become a convert to Judaism, whatever it is. She had some knowledge of Yahweh, but here's what happened. As Paul and Silas talked with her and shared the gospel, Acts 16:14 says, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said. Okay, this is a really important verse to think about how, what it looks like to be Spirit-empowered witnesses in this city that God has called us to. Our job, Christians, is to be faithful to get with people, to open our mouths, and to share. And it's God's job to open and transform their heart. Okay? You got to understand this. This takes the pressure off evangelism. Okay? You got to meet with people, talk about what you believe, and you got to believe that what you're saying is good news and is the answer. What I've found is that this can be really great to calm our souls as we do evangelism. You know, here's the problem. It's hard to do evangelism if we aren't walking in a relationship with Jesus. So think about this for a second. If you don't enjoy Jesus, you don't want to talk about him. You're going to talk about the things you enjoy. If you don't think Jesus is the answer to the problems we're facing in our communities, in our world, then it won't come up in conversation. You'll talk about the things that will. Even in my own life, I wasn't a fan of evangelism. I don't even think it's my primary gifting, actually. But God showed me that my heart wasn't walking with Jesus enough. I wasn't enjoying him enough, actually, to want to even talk about him with people. I needed to get with Jesus and enjoy him more if I was going to share with others. And the more we get with God, the easier it is to share about him with others. In fact, what the Bible wants to see as Christians is, as we love Jesus, man, it just overflows out of us. Right? Like, you talk about the things you like. I talked about mountain biking a whole lot this week. If you saw my Facebook post, I ripped my derailleur off. That's not a good thing. But I talked to a lot of people about mountain biking. But I also talked to people about Jesus, right? Because I love Jesus. And our job is to share, but we trust in God's ability to open and transform hearts. And faith happens when God opens a heart to receive salvation. In fact, 16:15 tells us that she believed and was baptized, and not only her, but all of her household. It means that she and her family, as they heard the good news, their hearts were opened, and they began to receive Jesus in faith and come into the faith community. Hebrews 3:7-8 says this. It's a great verse. It speaks to the situation. It says, look, if you hear the Spirit's voice testifying about Jesus today, then don't harden your hearts and say, yes, this is a work of God. And when we feel it going on, when God is speaking to us, we need to say yes. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I'd invite you to come and follow him, right? Like this Sunday, this week, this is all about God's love and grace towards us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ came to lay down his life for us so that we could be reconciled to God. And if you do that, then you get on Jesus' team and you won't lose. If you want that in your life, then we'd love to talk to you about what it means to follow Jesus, confess him as Lord, and believe on him and follow. Now, what this passage also shows us is that Lydia immediately begins to serve the church, serve Paul and Silas in their missionary journey. 16:15 there, it says that she asked them to stay at her house, and seemingly she was so insistent they couldn't resist her hospitality. You ever experienced that? when I've traveled to Guatemala with Tono and our teams, and when I've gone to India, these cultures, they are so insistent to care for me as a pastor. It's like, you know, like, please, like, I don't need special treatment. They're like, no, we have to. And they will press and press and press until you have to say, all right, right? Like, I receive it. And that seems to be what Lydia did. At one level, it shows her new transformed heart, right? That she immediately begins joining the Christian mission, and she is with these guys, and she is serving them. But also shows us how we as a church body get to share in God's work to reach the nations. I mean, I can imagine these two tired missionaries were very blessed to be received by Lydia, right? Like a good meal, a good bed, like they're like, hallelujah. This is better than getting rocks thrown at us like the last place we were at. And if you are on the team, we're in this fight together. We get to serve together. Whether you're the missionary that's sent out or the pastor or the leader, it's a great thing that you can join in and serve and play a role that helps make this a winning team as we watch God change lives, right? We are each called to use our time, our talents, our treasures in the service of God's church and in the advancement of the gospel in this city and around the world. And so I might ask you this morning, where is God calling you to support his team, the church, in Christ? Where is he calling you, right, to help reach lost people with your time and your talents and your treasures? You know, as we send out this church, Risen Life Midvale, today, it's not as if we are done with him. Like, see you, John. It's been good. No, we're stuck with John. I only say that because I love John. As a sister church, right, they are going to be part of our family of churches, and we want to continue to support Risen Life Midvale as God grows his kingdom. Okay, we get to be a part of this as he goes. Many of you have contributed financially. Guess what? Keep doing that. John and his team need that. That's a great way to support the mission. Many of you have prayed for this church plant. I've prayed for it for years now. Keep praying, right? We get to keep participating. Many of you have visited. Let's keep visiting. In fact, I'd encourage you maybe once a month, go just sit in a seat over there and support their service so that we keep a good momentum and keep this thing getting off the ground as we begin to build and birth this new church. Many of you have served there in worship and setup and outreach and greeting people. Keep doing these things, right? We all get to participate in what God is doing. And in the church, as fellow believers, as we join in, you know what you get out of this? You get some great joy, right? It is a joy to serve and see our team win, right? As God does the work of saving people, as God gives growth. So let me just ask you again, where are you going to use your time and your talents and treasures to advance the gospel? Right here in this church, Risen Life Midvale, around the world, wherever God's called you, you're a blessing to this team and we need you. And you'll get great joy out of doing it. All right, let's look at our last section here. As Paul and Silas in prison now. Acts 16, 16 through 40. So Paul and Silas continue to be faithful to the task God has called them to. They've caught one fish out here in this place of prayer with Lydia, and then they're headed there again to see who God might have for them to talk to. You know, I like to fish. I'm not as good a fisherman as John. I'm talking a lot about John today, but he's a pretty good fisherman. But I have a few spots where I know where there's to catch fish. Like, that's what they're doing. Like, oh, we got one on the line. God saved one over here. Let's go over there and see if he's got another. It's good thoughts on our evangelism. Along the way, they're met by this possessed girl who was being but used by some thugs to tell fortunes, and they were making a profit off of her. And Acts 16, 17 tells us that she began to follow Paul and Silas around town and proclaim, these men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation. Well, great message, right? Right message. Probably not helping them out in their ministry, since it was opposition from the enemy. In fact, it's probably keeping people away. Acts 16, 18 tells us that she did this for many days and that it became very annoying. I love it when the Bible's honest. Verse tells us Paul became greatly annoyed. You can imagine what this has looked like. One time I was on a trip in Southeast Asia, another mission trip, and I was with my best friend. And we began to be followed around a major city there by a woman who I presumed was possessed. he would follow me and my friend around town, and she was yelling out things about us. We didn't know what she was saying. But she would follow us, and she was yelling things behind us, and people were kind of avoiding us as we walked through town, and she followed us for several miles, and it was very annoying, actually. It was even more annoying to my best friend, because every quarter mile or so, the woman would reach out and goose him. At that point, I found it entertaining, actually. If you don't know what that is, ask your parents. But we began to pray for God to relieve us of this woman, and finally found a young homeless guy that we paid him to keep us away from us. We weren't as cool as Paul and Silas is what they're going to do. They do something cooler. Look at this. 16:18 tells us that Paul, after being annoyed, confronted this woman and cast a demon out of her in Jesus' name, and it came out. Praise God. Right. Acts 16:19-24 then tells us that this did not sit right with her owners, because then they lost their way of making money from her. And so they took Paul and Silas and they set them before the leaders of the city, and they accused them of disturbing the city and doing things that were unlawful and hampering their business. Okay? This is God's spiritual opposition to us advancing the gospel. And they were beat by these men. They were beat by the crowd. They were thrown into prison, and they were put in chains. What would you do there? Well, many of us would just quit, right? I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. Some of us would just cry. Any criers in the room, right? We'd just sit there and cry in the corner. Some of us would get angry. Some of us would try to fight, right? When things get hard, we so often want to run. We want to quit. We want to question our faith. God, where are you? What are you doing? Remember, brothers and sisters, you're on the winning team. And look what Paul and Silas do. On the winning team, we appeal to God to do something, because he can and will for his people. So Paul and Silas do just that. In fact, let's read verses 25 through 34 here. Look what it says. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and were singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds unfastened. And when the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself! We're all here!" And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. And this is a great story again. Look, Paul and Silas are trusting God and praising him, appealing to God in the midst of their difficulty imprisonment. And what we see here, right, is God defeats impossible odds. I mean, this is part of being the winning team. God will do whatever he wants to do. You got to get this. God loves his people, and he is always working for our benefit and his glory. And nothing will stand in his way. In prison, chained to a wall, beat, guards all around, no problem. How about I set you free? Right? Means wherever you are, whatever you are facing, there is hope with God in your life. I mean, this is part of the beauty of the gospel. Wherever you are, there is hope. It is not the end of the story what you are facing this morning if Jesus is in your life. God defeats impossible odds. Where does God need to move in your life this morning? I'd encourage you to appeal to him. Ask him to move in those impossible situations that you're facing. Appeal to him in prayer. Worship him in spirit and truth like we're doing this morning, so that he can step in and do something. And when God steps in, he does the impossible. Through the use of an earthquake, God sets Paul and Silas free. Like, the opposing team didn't see that one coming. I'm just going to say. God said to the angels, guys, let's run the Blue 42 earthquake play. You ready? Nobody saw that coming. This is like the Hail Mary out of nowhere, right? But God also had a bigger purpose with Paul and Silas and what he was doing, and it was to save the jailer and his family. This is a good reminder to us. God is always doing something with your life bigger than you see. In fact, he's called us, play the position on the team where you are, where I've put you, even if it's hard. And as a master coach, he's working an amazing play, right? Trust me, he's done it. I've seen it. Jailer comes in, sees the doors are opened. The chains have come off. Everyone, seemingly, he thinks is gone, about to kill himself, knowing the punishment he'll face. As a jailer, Paul calls the suicide hotline and says, wait a second. Don't harm yourself, right? Something way better is going on here. So they rush in with lights to see, and this guy falls down before Paul and Silas. It says in verse 31 and 30, what must I do to be saved? That's a wild question in response to all that. What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household. Notice this. Paul and Silas's imprisonment, their beating, led to a miracle by God that led to God opening the heart of the Roman jailer to receive Jesus, that led to an opportunity for Paul and Silas to share the gospel not only to him, but his whole family, that led to them all saying yes. That should give us a wildly different perspective on the things that we face and what God may be doing with us. This is what it looks like to be part of God's winning team. When we look at a bad day and go, this could be a winning day in God's economy. Let's hang on, right? Let's play the part that God's got for us. And notice how the jailer is saved again. Again, he's saved by God's grace through faith. Jailer, not looking for this, was about to kill himself. God stepped in out of love and grace and offered him salvation. Grace of God had come to this jailer to open his heart and to find salvation and hope. And he takes hold of it by believing in Jesus, by confessing in faith, Jesus is Lord, I want to follow him. Didn't ask him to take a shower to clean up, to do certain works, to get right before God. Didn't ask him what his ethnicity was or what had happened previous in his life. Just said, believe in Jesus, follow him, you'll be saved. And Paul and Silas share with him, and their whole family is saved and baptized. You know, we're sending out Midvale Church again today, and I would pray that you would ask God to give them opportunities by his hand to proclaim his grace to many in Midvale and in this city, that they would put their faith in Jesus. That's why we're doing this, right? To extend God's gospel. So let's pray for opportunities. And Midvale team, I'd speak to you guys this morning, right? As you guys face hardships in your ministry, there's a lot yet to come, right? We're like entering into the honeymoon, but it's going to get rough here, baby. Know if you will persevere and play your position that God has called you to, God can do a work in and through you to advance his gospel, even in the midst of the hardship. In fact, some of the hardship he has for you is so that it'll open opportunities for the gospel. And so let's be faithful when we go through those. All right, coming to the end of our passage here, Benji, come on up. Let's look at Acts 16, 35 through 40. What we see here is that the police now send a word to the jailer to let Paul and Silas go. But Paul doesn't drop this matter so easily. I always like this about Paul. Look at what it says in 16:37. Paul said to them, they have beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison, and do they now throw us out secretly? No way. Let them come themselves and take us out. I love Paul. So the police come and they grovel and apologize and say, we're really sorry. This was a misunderstanding. We shouldn't have done that. You're Roman citizens, et cetera, et cetera. Please don't sue us, right? One thing I want to say about this. Throughout the New Testament, we see believers insist on their rights that they have under the government they are a part of. They don't look to seek the world, to change the world through government, but they use their rights to advance the purposes of the church as needed. It's a good example to us today. All right, Jesus is asking us this morning, you want to join his team? It's a good team. Got a good record. Come and give your life to him, right? Give your life by acknowledging Jesus as Lord. Say, I want to follow you of all of my life. And if you know him, then God's saying, come give your time, your talents, your treasures, and let's play for a really assured win. Like, let's do some great things together. And I've learned more and more, the more that I give to the Lord, the more that I see it's all about him doing the work and not me. God works through us. God directs his people. God opens and saves hearts. And God defeats impossible odds. Where do you need God's Spirit to direct you this morning? Take a minute as we respond in song and prayer to ask him, show me, Lord, where do I need to go? What do I need to do in this situation? Where do you want to see God open somebody's hearts? Pray for that relative, that friend, that neighbor, your coworker, somebody in town, somebody that Midvale Church is going to reach to open their hearts and save them. Invite them next weekend to come to Good Friday, Easter. Let's see God do some great things, and let's be faithful to share the message. Then what impossible situation in your life do you have today that you need God to call a blue 42 on, right? Like, let's run that earthquake play, God. Do something great that rescues us and grows us and brings him glory. Let's respond to God in prayer now, and then after we sing, we're going to commission this church plant in a really important moment here. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word that speaks to us. God, thank you for Jesus that gives us hope in all of life, that with you we cannot lose. You have assured the results. Lord, help us to believe that. Help us to want to step onto your team, and would you direct us? Would we see you do great things as we are faithful to you? And God, would you remove impossible odds as only you can do in our lives? Lord, grow us in the person of Christ and in the gospel. Lord, and may your kingdom advance to your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.